Book 1, Chapter 8. The son of Aristobulus, who ran away from Pompey, makes an expedition against Hyrcanus, but being overcome by Gabinius, he delivers up the fortresses to him. After this, Aristobulus escapes from Rome and gathers an army together. But being beaten by the Romans, he is brought back to Rome, with other things relating to Gabinius, Crassus, and Cassius. 1. In the meantime, Scaurus made an expedition into Arabia, but was stopped by the difficulty of the places about Petra. However, he laid waste the country about Pella, though even there he was under great hardship, for his army was afflicted with famine. In order to supply which want, Hyrcanus afforded him some assistance, and sent him provisions by the means of Antipater, whom also Scaurus sent to Aretas, as one well acquainted with him, to induce him to pay him money to buy his peace. The king of Arabia complied with the proposal, and gave him 300 talents, upon which Scaurus drew his army out of Arabia. Footnote. Take the like attestation to the truth of this submission of Aretas, king of Arabia, to Scaurus the Roman general, in the words of Dean Eldridge. Hence, says he, is derived that old and famous denarius belonging to the Aemilian family, represented in Haverkamp's edition, wherein Aretas appears in a posture of supplication, and taking hold of a camel's bridle with his left hand, and with his right hand presenting a branch of the frankincense tree, with this inscription, M. Scaurus, XSC, and beneath, Rex Aretas. End footnote. 2. But as for Alexander, that son of Aristobulus who ran away from Pompey, in some time he got a considerable band of men together, and lay heavy upon Hyrcanus, and overran Judea, and was likely to overturn him quickly. And indeed he had come to Jerusalem, and had ventured to rebuild its wall that was thrown down by Pompey, had not Gabinius, who was sent as successor to Scaurus into Syria, showed his bravery, as in many other points, so in making an expedition against Alexander, who, as he was afraid that he would attack him, so he got together a large army, composed of 10,000 armed footmen, and 1,500 horsemen. He also built walls about proper places, Alexandrium and Hyrcanium and Machaerus, that lay upon the mountains of Arabia. 3. However, Gabinius sent before him Marcus Antonius, and followed himself with his whole army. But for the select body of soldiers that were about Antipater, and another body of Jews under the command of Malichus and Pithalaeus, these joined themselves to those captains that were about Marcus Antonius, and met Alexander, to which body came Oabinius with his main army soon afterward. And as Alexander was not able to sustain the charge of the enemy's forces, now they were joined, he retired. But when he was come near to Jerusalem, he was forced to fight, and lost 6,000 men in the battle, 3,000 of which fell down dead, and 3,000 were taken alive. So he fled with the remainder to Alexandrium. Now when Gabinius was come to Alexandrium, because he found a great many there encamped, he tried, by promising them pardon for their former offences, to induce them to come over to him before it came to a fight. But when they would hearken to no terms of accommodation, he slew a great number of them, and shut up a great number of them in the citadel. Now Marcus Antonius, their leader, signalized himself in this battle, who, as he always showed great courage, so did he never show it so much as now. But Gabinius, leaving forces to take the citadel, went away himself and settled the cities that had not been demolished, and rebuilt those that had been destroyed. Accordingly, upon his injunctions, the following cities were restored: Scythopolis and Samaria, and Anthedon, and Apollonia, and Jamnia, and Raphia, and Mariassa, and Adorius, and Gamala, and Ashdod, and many others, while a great number of men readily ran to each of them, and became their inhabitants. 5. When Gabinius had taken care of these cities, he returned to Alexandrium, and pressed on the siege. So when Alexander despaired of ever obtaining the government, he sent ambassadors to him, and prayed him to forgive what he had offended him in, and gave up to him the remaining fortresses, Hyrcanium and Machaerus, as he put Alexandrium into his hands afterwards, all which Gabinius demolished, at the persuasion of Alexander's mother, that they might not be receptacles of men in a second war. She was now there in order to mollify Gabinius, out of her concern for her relations that were captives at Rome, which were her husband and her other children. After this, Gabinius brought Hyrcanus to Jerusalem, and committed the care of the temple to him, but ordained the other political government to be by an aristocracy. He also parted the whole nation into five conventions, assigning one portion to Jerusalem, another to Gadara, then another should belong to Amathus, a fourth to Jericho, and to the fifth division was allotted Sepphoris, a city of Galilee. So the people were glad to be thus freed from monarchical government, and were governed for the future by all aristocracy. 6. Yet did Aristobulus afford another foundation for new disturbances. He fled away from Rome, and got together again many of the Jews that were desirous of a change, such as he had borne in affection to him of old. And when he had taken Alexandrium in the first place, he attempted to build a wall about it. But as soon as Gabinius had sent an army against him under Siscuria and Antonius and Servilius, he was aware of it and retreated to Machaerus. And as for the unprofitable multitude, he dismissed them, and only marched on with those that were armed, being to the number of 8,000, among whom was Pitholeus, who had been the lieutenant at Jerusalem, but deserted to Aristobulus with 1,000 of his men. So the Romans followed him, and when it came to a battle, Aristobulus's party for a long time fought courageously, but at length they were overborne by the Romans, and of them 5,000 fell down dead, and about 2,000 fled to a certain little hill. But the 1,000 that remained with Aristobulus brake through the Roman army, and marched together to Machaerus. And when the king had lodged the first night upon its ruins, he was in hopes of raising another army. If the war would but cease a while, accordingly he fortified that stronghold, though it was done after a poor manner. But the Romans falling upon him, he resisted, even beyond his abilities, for 2 days, and then was taken, and brought a prisoner to Gabinius, with Antigonus his son, who had fled away together with him from Rome. And from Gabinius he was carried to Rome again. Wherefore the Senate put him under confinement, but returned his children back to Judea, because Gabinius informed them by letters that he had promised Aristobulus's mother to do so, for her delivering the fortresses up to him. 7. But now, as Gabinius was marching to the war against the Parthians, he was hindered by Ptolemy, whom, upon his return from Euphrates, he brought back into Egypt, making use of Hyrcanus and Antipater to provide everything that was necessary for the expedition. For Antipater furnished him with money, and weapons, and corn, and auxiliaries. He also prevailed with the Jews that were there, and guarded the avenues at Pelusium, to let them pass. But now, upon Gabinius's absence, the other part of Syria was in motion, and Alexander, the son of Aristobulus, brought the Jews to revolt again. Accordingly, he got together a very great army, and set about killing all the Romans that were in the country. Hereupon Gabinius was afraid, for he was come back already out of Egypt, and obliged to come back quickly by these tumults, and sent Antipater, who prevailed with some of the revolters to be quiet. However, 30,000 still continued with Alexander, who was himself eager to fight also. Accordingly, Gabinius went out to fight, when the Jews met him, and as the battle was fought near Mount Tabor, 10,000 of them were slain, and the rest of the multitude dispersed themselves and fled away. So Gabinius came to Jerusalem, and settled the government as Antipater would have it. Thence he marched, and fought and beat the Nabateans. As for Mithridates and Orsenes, who fled out of Parthen, he sent them away privately, but gave it out among the soldiers that they had run away. 8. In the meantime, Crassus came as successor to Gabinius in Syria. He took away all the rest of the gold belonging to the temple of Jerusalem, in order to furnish himself for his expedition against the Parthians. He also took away the 2,000 talents which Pompey had not touched. But when he had passed over Euphrates, he perished himself, and his army with him, concerning which affairs this is not a proper time to speak more largely. 9. But now Cassius, after Crassus, put a stop to the Parthians, who were marching in order to enter Syria. Cassius had fled into that province, and when he had taken possession of the same, he made a hasty march into Judea, and, upon his taking Terachea, he carried 30,000 Jews into slavery. He also slew Pitholeus, who had supported the seditious followers of Aristobulus, and it was Antipater who advised him to do so. Now this Antipater married a wife of an eminent family among the Arabissus, whose name was Cypros, and had 4 sons born to him by her, Phasaelus and Herod, who was afterwards king, and, besides these, Joseph and Pheroras, and he had a daughter whose name was Salome. Now as he made himself friends among the men of power everywhere, by the kind offices he did them, and the hospitable manner that he treated them, so did he contract the greatest friendship with the king of Arabia, by marrying his relation, insomuch that when he made war with Aristobulus, he sent and entrusted his children with him. So when Cassius had forced Alexander to come to terms and to be quiet, he returned to Euphrates, in order to prevent the Parthians from repassing it, concerning which matter we shall speak elsewhere. Footnote. This citation is now wanting. End footnote.